As Donna Cox was, I think the center point of her presentation was that in order to use this technology, we need experience and collaboration. The social implications of using this communication technology for collaboration, for talking to each other, for interacting with each other, for taking scientific data and creating aesthetic objects out of it, for doing collaborative work over distance and so on, has tremendous implications for this society in which the individual is the be-all, end-all. And our social and cultural values are getting a pretty strong shove by this technology. That is, we're going to have to be a lot more cooperative in our competitiveness. We need to be cooperative as individuals in order for our firms to be globally competitive. We need to be a lot more cooperative for our academic institutions to get research out of the labs and into the society. Tech transfer is an enormous problem. But the implications are that this technology will push us toward that. I could deliver this whole lecture just talking about the implications of collaboration. So these are what I are identifying as some of the major student needs today. How do I propose to meet those needs? Okay, quite simply, utilize multi-user online environments. These are already around in the form of bulletin boards, chat lines, and these MUDs that I was talking about, these role-playing games, that as of 2 weeks ago, universities are already kicking off of mainframes because they said they're games and they don't see any use for them. They just eat up disk space. I'm here to say don't let them do it. So multi-user online environments fit my model just wonderfully for the nature of cyberspace. And another element, when I say object-oriented programming, I know that the group that I looked in on yesterday knows what object-oriented programming is. Is this all a familiar term for everybody? Great, great.
They may not use that term, but they're all doing it.
Well, object orientation, as you're receiving it, I think is a real important key. I've only got three parts here to this, and this is just replicating that model I first indicated. This is my definition of cyberspace reiterated. This is computing power. This is sophisticated software development, and this is using telecommunications, okay? It could be terminals to the mainframe, but it's also modems to the mainframe. Okay, so we've got the solution in hand. Yes, yeah, all that comes together. The big kettle is cyberspace. Cyberspace is just a handy definition, one which actually there is some consensus about. There are about six definitions of cyberspace, this one I think is one that's fairly common. What are the benefits of having students work within this kind of space that I'm proposing? Well, asynchronous messaging is one of them. What is asynchronous messaging? Well, it means that as Joe's student, I'm sitting in my dorm room, and I've got this pressing question I want to ask my instructor. I can just go online and type a message and leave that message for the instructor so that when the instructor picks it up later tonight or tomorrow morning, can answer it in her own good time. That we can have real-time meetings with other people. We can send messages to each other and say, I'll meet you online at 10 a.m. and let's talk about this project that we're going to have to do a presentation on tomorrow afternoon. Okay? This is another example of that efficient, simple, directed, unfettered kind of communication that you can have with text. We can have discussion groups. The object-oriented programming puts each of you into the program as an object and allows you to take on characteristics. It also allows you to meet in a space that's familiar to you. You can actually, instead of going through menus, you can actually just go through little narrative descriptions that describe the classroom or the meeting space that you're in. I don't want this is terribly exciting to me, I don't want to get too far into that, but you can actually conduct virtual sections. And this is, it was the virtual section that I wanted to bring up online for you all. Now, I haven't got students sitting there waiting, but we've tested this out, and it's pretty exciting. The MUD, the object-oriented programming done in MUDs allows any number of people to be online typing to each other at the same time. Well, it doesn't sort everything out line by line, so you can imagine you get a kind of word salad. But it's amazing that people can keep several threads of conversation going together at once. Six is about as many people as you can handle online at once. Yeah.
Obviously an acronym for what?
Multi-user dimension.
How does it differ from D&D?
It's a lot more social. D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, is going out and slaying objects and gaining points, okay? And it's also slaying avatars as objects. It's a competitive gaining points, knocking people off kind of thing. The MUDs have this dual aspect of exploration, discovery, working within fantasy, slaying creatures, creating creatures as well. This is an important aspect of MUDs. They make you have to have almost no programming background to begin operating the tutorial that's available for creating objects. But it also has the socialization, the social online aspect. You meet people. The standard MUD comes with about 20 spaces. One is a large open green. The other is an inn. Do you remember a few years ago a book by Matteo Ricci, The Memory Palace was the name of the book.
Matteo Ricci.
Yeah. And I would say this is like that. That the people who programmed the MUDs, originally it came from Dungeon Dragons players in England, created it with familiar spaces. What you're greeted by is at each space when you go into it is a description of the objects in this space, and you recreate it in your head, and you can then look at in Unix language LA, or just you can actually type in look at any one of the nouns that's described in that space, and it will. The screen refreshes, and here's a description of what you can do with that. There's a lot of sense of discovery. Well, people have so much fun creating objects for each other. They help each other out. They collaborate on creating these objects. And in the process, they start getting interested with each other. They start disclosing a little bit more about each other. And now there are things called MUSHs, multi-user social, I forget what the H part stands for. Anyway, those are extremely popular. Many of them are built on themes. There's a Star Trek MUSH where everyone who logs onto it takes on a persona of one of the people on the Star Trek crew, and they interact as though they are that person. And that gives them a vehicle. It's almost like playing with puppets. It gives people a tremendous amount of freedom to disclose a lot of very personal, candid information if they want. Through the personas. And, I'm going to have to restrain myself a little bit because I think this is a terribly important aspect. But it's not just Dungeons and Dragons. It's moved beyond that to become something that is very social. What I've just been talking about is this control of privacy and disclosure. I can take on as much social presence as I want, and I can disclose as much as I want. And another important aspect is that by using this sort of game playing online, or just simply using the bulletin boards online, is giving students the experience of the new technologies that they're going to face when they go out into business, government, and presumably education.